Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Good to have you with us this morning. Happy Mother's Day to moms and grandmas and moms-to-be. We're thinking about mom. So blessings to her memory, or blessings to your day or time with the moms. And to you moms, we love you and God loves you, and it's a special day. And for next Sunday, May 17th, just be prepared. We're going to have a little communion service at the end. So have something to eat, something to drink, doesn't matter what it is. And we'll lead you in that time to remember our Lord and His sacrifice for us. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." You know, it's no doubt we're in reset mode around the world for the church. What does a relaunch look like? Well, it means learning to see from a radically new perspective, right? With our eyes on the Lord. Our eyes open up to the Lord. And as we change our focus, we see that everything is new. And so much is possible with God. With God, life is flowing. Life is abundant. There's so much potential, and God is in control. But our world does not see God right now. And it's only because the world has turned its back on God for many, many years, for too long. We've turned away from His presence. But as the church, as believers, we have a new heart. We have a new spirit created by God. We believe in order to see. What we see is through the heart, the eyes of the heart. And the eyes of the heart must be enlightened by constantly turning to God. We turn to God today. We long for His Word. We long for His Spirit to keep our heart with all vigilance. So focus on God this morning, the week ahead. His great love for you. Do not remain in any state of fear. Be filled with the Holy Spirit's peace. Even now, come, Holy Spirit, come. And keep the eyes of the heart on Jesus, who is the light, compassion, the healing touch of God. May the Lord open the eyes of our heart to praise Him. And to see the everyday miracles and wonders that are all around us. It's so good to be together. Let us sing now.
Even though Jesus was rejected by some people, you are invited to come to him in trust and hope.
Lord, guide us and give us courageous faith.
For he is the cornerstone, and this church will stand faithfully as a house of praise and service because of his love.
We are not afraid. We are given a mandate to serve with joy and peace. Amen.
Bow in prayer with me, please. Good morning, Father. God of grace and God of glory, we look to you this morning. Our church should be full of moms and smiles and hugs and flowers. Our smiles are covered by masks and some have gloves and some stand near, but almost all of our church family are home. This morning will be a new kind of Mother's Day, just as we are in a new way of worship. We join together online this morning to lift you up in prayer and song. In these times, it's easy to see so much of our lives we have taken for granted, just as at times we have taken you for granted. This morning, we lift you up, we praise you, we thank you, Father. We're praying to hopefully soon put on the current situation behind us along with our troubles and return to normal as soon as we can, but with lessons learned and our hearts burning to be together again. You have done great wonders, yet you hear each of our prayers. You listen to each of us throughout the day, and you understand our hurts and our fears. We praise you for being our rock. Grant us wisdom and grant us courage, serving you, dear Father, whom we adore. God of grace and God of glory, we praise you this glorious morning as we join together in the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and then 15 and 16. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Our second reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Would you join with me in our lament? On page 912. Shepherd and Savior of Israel, Creator of the world, I hope in you. Compassionate Redeemer, you who live in Jesus Christ, apart from you, life is empty. From the lips of family and friends, I have heard of you. In experience marked by routine and surprise, I have felt the brush of your presence. But, divine friend, there is an absence in your presence that makes me uneasy. In thoughtful periods, I feel the pain of being alone. I am burdened with the suspicion that there is no caring eye upon any of us. There are marvelous moments of happiness when we experience your sunlight brightness and warmth. but there is night. What do you do in the night? Must there be these long hours when the rays of your love are unseen? Darkness and light may be the same for you. For us, however, the darkness is scary and uncertain. Maker of the universe, do you know how hard it is just to face normal, everyday life? Are you aware of those moments when we are almost empty of strength and feel like giving up? Dear God, we are devastated by the death of loved ones. We are made anxious by serious continuing illness. Our hands hang down at the loss of job and the put-downs of colleagues. Family strife and divorce wither our desire to continue on. Rejection by friends leaves us lonely and solitary. In these times, it is hard to pray to you, difficult to praise you, because as much as we want your presence, you seem absent. It is not only your absence, however, that causes pain. Even your presence afflicts us with questions. Why are you present with few and not all? Why do you help individuals in small matters and ignore large populations dying from hunger and persecution? Are these matters too difficult for us to understand? Mysterious, incomparable God, ruler over all the earth, we are awed by you, but we are also confused by the manner in which you rule this world. In order for you to be God, is it necessary to be so mysterious and distant? We long for you, God with us. We fervently seek you, our sovereign. Sometimes we say, I will no longer seek you, will no longer wait upon you, will reject the thought that you care for us. But we continue to seek after you, although we feel as if we are singing a song in a strange land. We trust that you hear.
Please pray with me. O Lord, look upon this congregation, generations, Lord, with so many generations within this body. We thank you, Lord, for each and every generation and all that they have added to us. We ask a blessing, especially this day, over every mother in each and every generation. Motherhood, caring, it never ends, Lord. If it's not for our own children, it is for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. And I know that we have these among us. For our new moms don't yet know what the older moms know. There's so much wisdom to be shared from one generation to the next. We just thank you, Lord, that we do have among us so many caring women. Lord, we ask for your wisdom. You give it to us freely, Lord, but we beg you, give us that wisdom now. We need your discernment now, in this hour, Lord. How good it is to know that you freely give to us that which we desire most. That is your wisdom, your discernment, your knowledge. Those things that will walk us through this process, this place that we have come to in this world at this time, Lord. Show us your way. Open our eyes, Lord, to see into the spirit realm just exactly what you have planned. We repent. We turn to you, Lord. We surrender. We come to understand this in a new way. Your presence in us and among us requires our surrender to all that you have planned for us. May we be yours in full use for what is needed in this hour. Let your church arise and awaken, Lord, to become aware of your movements, of your shaking, that which is loosed in the world. Let us understand that the fear of the world is not the fear we should be involved in. Your fear, Lord, a reverence of your life and what you are looking for in your people. Let us show you reverence, praise your name, worship who you are. Remember, we were created in your plan, not our own. Whatever that may be, we must surrender it, and then you make it great. Whatever your mission is for us. Lord, you are life and you are love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, just as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless all women, the mothers and grandmothers, daughters, aunts, sisters in Christ. Through you, O Lord, may they all be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may we honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Writer J.D. Salinger wrote, "Mothers are all slightly insane." Humorist Sam Levinson wrote, "Insanity is hereditary. We get it from our kids." American humorist Irma Bombeck was once asked if she had the opportunity to live her life over again, would she change anything? And she replied no. But then when she thought about it, she changed her mind. She added, yes, there would be more I love yous. There would be more I'm sorries and more I'm listenings. But mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute of it, look at it, and really see it. I would try it on. I would live it. I would exhaust it. I would never give that minute back until there was nothing left of it. Good morning to everyone, and happy Mother's Day. Back in the 1950s and 60s, Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra played for the New York Yankees, and they became close friends. One day, Yogi invited Mickey over to his apartment in the city. And on the way, Mantle got lost. So he stopped by a payphone and he called up Yogi and he said, "I'm trying to find your apartment. Where is it?" And Yogi answered, "Well, where are you now?" Mantle replied, "I'm at the corner of 5th and Main." And Yogi said, "Well, you just keep coming in this direction." And then he hung up. I kind of feel like Mickey Mantle through this shutdown. I'm making progress. I've continually been reassured that we are on the right track, but I'm still not sure where we're going. I have to admit that we, Thomaston, Litchfield County, we're all faring a lot better than I was imagining we would be at this point in the shutdown. I've even seen signs of hope, and I feel this feeling, this sense of antsiness as everybody wants to get back to normal. And I worry about this shutdown. I worry about this virus, that it may drag on longer than we think, and I dread the possibility that all of it might actually return again in the fall. And I wonder what back to normal, what will back to normal look like? Will our new normal just work its way into our lives without us really noticing? Or will we spend chunks of our life just building our new normal out of dread and worry? Yes, dread and worry are still with us. And I think all of us still struggle with what is going on. Even though we put on this upbeat spirit and smiles, we're still worrying what the rest of the year will bring. And our smiles and hopes will surely be wiped off our faces if a family member or a friend or a neighbor contracted this virus, and if anyone we know happens to die. It's this worry in the back of our minds. It can build, and it does. We find ourselves starting to look down at our problems. This virus has brought so much into our lives, we start to look down instead of looking up to God. I hope the two scriptures that I have chosen this morning for this sermon will help us all start looking up and relying upon God. This morning my sermon will start off with John 14, 1 through 14, not letting our hearts be troubled. And John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And later incorporate Psalm 31, 1 through 5. And the theme of that is trusting in the Lord no matter what. In a troubled and uncertain world, how can Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life matter? Well, what I find interesting about the story of John is that I think Jesus sets the conversation up. I think he primed the pump so by asking Thomas, Lord, do you know the way that we are going? How can we know the way? John 14:5, because that's the question. That's what Jesus wanted to answer. How can we know the way? Until you know the answer to that question, you're always going to be lost. Kind of like Mickey Mantle taking verbal directions from Yogi. Remember, Yogi's the one who came up with the great line for directions. When you come to the fork in the road, take it. James Thurber once said, all men should strive to learn before they die what they're running from, to, and why. That little poem has a powerful point. Until you know why you're here and where you're going, you'll always be lost. And so Jesus frames this conversation so Thomas will ask, how will we know the way? Now the conversation actually begins much earlier when Jesus said these words, let not your hearts be troubled, in John 14:1. Have you ever been on a trip and gotten lost? Now, most men won't admit it, but have you ever felt troubled because you were getting lost? Well, I think it's kind of funny that in our youth, we do things that we would never do today. And one of the things was years ago, in another lifetime, I drove to Yankee Stadium all by myself in my old Vega to catch a game. I parked in the stadium parking lot. The entrance ramp to go back home was just right across the street. And after the game, I walked out to my car, I exited the stadium, and my plane was so perfect, it came crashing down. As I started to enter, there were police and blockades and things. I couldn't get on the highway, and they made me go in a different direction. Well, I found myself driving in areas of the city that I was pretty scared, and I wasn't really sure what was going on. I was just hoping my little Vega wouldn't get scared and break down, because then I really wouldn't know what to do. I just kept saying to myself, just don't stop. And after a while of driving around, I reached a point where I really wasn't sure I was going to find my way home. It's that uncertainty that drives us nuts. For example, take our present crisis over this virus. I recently read an article that said, as the present pandemic continued to spread, more countries and states ordered lockdowns, and the prospective slope of financial recovery was steepened day by day. Many of us are still facing tremendous uncertainty. Questions swirl around in our heads. What if I or someone else gets the virus? Am I still going to have a job tomorrow? Will I ever be able to retire now? What if I lose the house? Will life ever be the same? Everything in our lives can be stripped away in a moment by disease, economic collapse, or inevitably by death. But I want to remind you that money and health were never a sure thing. And that's what Jesus said. He said, nothing on this earth is a sure thing. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. In Matthew 6:19. Let me repeat that. Nothing on this earth is a sure thing. And that's what drives us nuts. If we knew which way to go, if we knew what the truth was or who to trust, if we just could be assured that life would turn out all right, then maybe we might be able to hold on through this. And Jesus said, if you're looking for the way to go, that's me. If you're looking for truth that you can trust, that's me. You trust in God, trust also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what is it to Jesus that makes him the way and the truth and the life? Well, Pastor Jess Streith wrote, there's a cute little bumper sticker that reads, don't follow me, I'm lost. In the religious world, there's lots of folks out there who say, follow me, I know where I'm going. In fact, every world religion is based on the idea, follow me, I know where I'm going. They know what is right and they know what must be done. I know where you need to go, they say. But in most every world religion, you could remove the founder and still have the teachings. You could take Muhammad out of Islam and still have Islam. You can take Buddha out of Buddhism and still have Buddhism. It goes on and on and on. But you can't take Jesus out of our faith and still have Christianity. Everything hinges on him. That's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Paul put it this way, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, in 1 Corinthians. David had God and his rock. We have and depend on Jesus. Everything in our Christian life hinges on Jesus. Without Jesus, we are nothing. But why should it make any difference to us? What is it about Jesus being the way and the truth and the life that would help me deal with my doubts, my distress, and my discouragement? When you found Jesus, you're not lost anymore, for he is the way. Jesus makes it clear that they or we won't know the defined way in which we are supposed to travel in life. We are instead tasked with simply knowing and trusting in Jesus daily and walking in faith that he is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus can testify to the truth and teach the truth because he himself is truth. In him there is nothing fake. There is nothing false or misleading. There is nothing uncertain. And Jesus is the life. Jesus is teaching us that what we are to be concerned with is not this life, but with eternal life. No fear of death. When Jesus refers to himself as the way and the truth and the life, he's giving us a better way to live our lives through him. He is showing us that through following him daily, we will lead to a better, richer, and more meaningful life than we could ever find on our own. As we trek through this month, two of our lockdown with most of us still held up in our homes, there is hope that most of us can see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Just what or anything have we learned about ourselves through this? Has anything changed in your lives? What will change when we restart on the other side? We started with John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And we move to now to Psalm 31, trust in the Lord no matter what. The last words of Jesus spoke from the cross, according to Luke, were from Psalm 31. 31:5, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. And in Luke 23:46, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. And the last words of Stephen before he died as a martyr were also from Psalm 31. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," from Acts 7. But these are not the psalmist's dying words. They are instead an expression of his faith. He commends the spirit to God. God will save him from his enemies. Now, Psalm 31 is an individual lament psalm in which King David, we all know King David, he's the little shepherd with the slingshot that, and he eventually goes on to be the second king of Israel. He's trying to work out his problems, and he's searching for the Lord for help. And setting up for Psalm 31 is likely when Absalom, David's son, comes into Jerusalem intent on killing his father. Now, David's smart skills and strengths may have shown through when he kicked Goliath's butt as a young man, but he was equally skilled as a leader in King David. But David's run at greatness started its decline the second he caught his adulterous glimpse of Bathsheba. His great success as a warrior and emperor builder were marred by interconnected family dissensions and political revolt. In Psalm 31, David is praying while Absalom is mounting his armies in a bloody revolt to defeat and kill his father. David has fled to the Mount of Olives, weeping as he climbs the mountain. While his armies are battling Absalom's armies, David is reconnecting with God. Our psalm begins with David invoking and expressing his confidence in the Lord. In verse 1a, NIV, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge." In King James, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." That is David's bedrock, assurance and confidence through this whole thing. He trusts in the Lord, no one and nothing else, his military strength, his wisdom, or anything. The Lord alone is his trust. Isn't that the same for all of us when our world starts to get a little bit off kilter? It isn't until we stop and we reboot with God, spending time and listening, that whatever is going on, that whatever we need to do to fix it, comes into focus. Now, like us, David trusts the Lord, and things, as we see, are not going well in his life, that he now comes to the Lord with his petition. In verse 1b, "Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." And in verse 2 and 3, David now asks for deliverance that would prevent his everlasting shame. "Turn your ears to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me." In verse 2, David is asking God, "Turn to me. Come quickly. Be my rock." And now in verse 3, David is already accepting. Isn't that how we ought to pray too? God is our provider, and yet we also ask him to provide our daily bread. In verse 4, "Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge." David asked God to release him from the traps that his son has laid secretly for him, as if he were an animal, and to bring him to a place of safety, a place where the Lord is. Isn't that where we all strive to be? Absalom's revolt was defeated. Absalom was killed. David and his armies were the victors. But David could not stop crying for his son's death until his generals warned him that he was insulting the troops who had stood by him and had fought for him, died for him. David finally does regroup and again becomes the great leader. The Lord was his rock. Christ is yours. In him you take refuge. In him you put your trust. I would like to end with a few more thoughts by American humorist Irma Bombeck. It kind of seems very fitting as we ponder and as we wait to get back to our new normal. Her article was, "If I Had My Life to Live Over." If I had my life to live over, I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet stained and the sofa was faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room, and I would have worried much less about dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken time to listen to my grandparents rambling about their youth. I would have burned that pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about getting grass stains. I would have cried less while watching television and more while watching life. And I would have never bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show soil, and was guaranteed to last a lifetime. And my favorite, I would have eaten less cottage cheese and more ice cream. And finally, she closed with, stop sweating the small stuff. Don't worry about who doesn't like you, who has more, or who's doing what. Instead, let's cherish the relationships we have with those who do love us. Let's think about what God has blessed all of us with. Amen.
From much for remembering to be open with your generosity, that your hands are surrendered to what the Lord calls us to do. So in this time, we just bring our offerings to you, Lord, that you may do with them all that you need. Amen.
Go into your work and week in peace, and may the peace of God, which shines brightly and vanquishes our darkness, always be with you. Go knowing that you are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any you have ever known. Go knowing that God is your rock and your refuge. You are not alone. God is always with you. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen. Mm-hmm.